Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we open our Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read one verse for our text. Hebrews chapter 11, and reading from verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. To gracious Father, we have read from thy word this morning that to please you, Father, we must have faith, and we know that faith is not only something that allows us to be pleasing to thee, but Father, there's also a reward associated with faith. For he that believeth that God is, we believe that you're a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. And so, Father, we claim this word as ours because it has been revealed to us and to our children. And so, therefore, it is our word because it's your word given to your children. Now, Lord, we commit our study of thy word this morning, believing, Father, that there's a real need for faith amongst the people. And knowing, Father, that if we have hardly any faith for healing, how much more so are we going to need faith for a body change? And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us be attentive. Help us, Lord, to cling to thy word and to understand how that we can appropriate faith. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning will be number 59 in our series of The Spoken Word is Original Seed. And the subject matter is, where does your faith rest? And this morning, I'd like to continue from paragraph 42, where we left off last night, where Brother Branham said, it's there, the truth, all the truth, and nothing but the truth, and our faith rests right there on what God said. Don't try to interpret it. Just say it the way that he said it. Don't put any private interpretation. Now, this morning, I would like to speak on faith because we are told in Hebrews 11 and 6 that without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So having faith is essential to the Christian if he's going to please God. Not only that, but we are told that without faith we cannot please God. I don't care how good your actions are. How many times you, as a Catholic would do, pray the rosary. How many times you get on your knees and beat yourself before God, like the Muslim does? Three times a day he gets down and he gets out his little shawl and he makes a big scene of how he's going to worship God. God don't look at that. He don't care about that. But you're not going to please him if you don't have faith. And if you don't even understand what faith is, then we're in a really sorry situation. Therefore, if we're to receive anything from God, we must first have faith and believe God for what we seek. But the reason people do not have faith concerning receiving from God is that they are not sure if what they are asking is the will of God or not. How many times do you hear people pray, "Oh Lord God, you know, please save Johnny, please save my son, please do this, if it be thy will." You know what you did right there? You canceled out your prayer. If it be thy will. If it be thy will. You don't ever ask God, if it be thy will. You know his will, then you pray. The reason people do not have faith concerning receiving from God is that they are not sure if what they are asking is the will of God to begin with. And the reason they are not sure what the will of God is because they do not know what the will of God is. In order to have faith, then, we must first have knowledge of what God's will is concerning the matter that we're wishing to have faith for. Before one can have faith for any circumstances in our life, we must first know what God's will is for us in that area that we are seeking faith for. Whether it be healing, whether it be finances, whether it be a spouse, whether it be any specific blessing at all. Because the scripture says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. How are you going to have faith if you don't have the Word of God for it? Therefore, this morning we're going to examine what we can do in our life to increase our faith. We need to understand that God has placed more than 800 promises in His Word for our benefit. And all it takes to receive those blessings is for us to know that they are there and that God wants for you to have them. How many times we hear people pray, well, I don't want to bother God. You know, what I need in my life is so insignificant compared to what others need in their lives. Brother Bram said, that's like the fish saying, well, you know, I better drink sparingly of this ocean water because I might drink it up. How can you ever exhaust the bountiful blessings of God? Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. He said, ask abundantly that your joy may be full. Therefore, this morning we're going to examine what we can do in our life to increase our faith. As I said, there's more than 800 promises in the Scripture for the elect, or for God's children. So if we could only understand the benefits that God has in His Word for us, once you know those benefits, then there's something that you have to do to get them. Now, we live so below our privilege as sons and daughters of God. We live in such a godless society that all we hear from day to day is that if you're going to get anything out of life, you've got to do it yourself. Or, the other hand says, you've got to let the government do it. And they're both wrong. That's the two extremes that you hear from every day on the radio, television, and newspapers. We are so saturated with godless, pessimistic messages in the media today that if we only believe just a small part of what we're hearing, then the devil has completed his victory. Oh, yeah. We need to learn to tune out the devil's message and to tune into God's message. If we only knew just a portion of what God has for us and believed what God had to say about those things for us, we would not be such a defeated people. But we would truly be a people walking in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. By knowing what God has to say about those promises you're seeking, you will learn how to have faith with no uncertainty at all. God is more eager for us to have them than we are to receive His blessings. But until we know the will of God concerning those things, we have nothing to base our faith upon. You see, we must have the mind of Christ in us, and we know that the mind of the Father must be in the Son in order for that Son to become adopted or placed in the family. Our minds must be brought into harmony with the mind of God if we are to receive what God has in mind for us to receive. Now remember, the promises we have were in God before the foundation of the world. And God adopted us as sons in His mind before the very foundation of the world when we were still yet in Him. You see, God had a lamb slain before the foundations of the world. And Brother Branham said the greatest victory in Jesus' life wasn't at Calvary, it was at Gethsemane. When Jesus finally made up His mind and said, that lamb slain before the foundations of the world is Me. He said, Father, My will is that You take the cup from Me, but nevertheless, not My will, but Thy will be done. He knew God's will. Sometimes you know God's will, but you don't like it. But let me tell you one thing. God's will always work together for the good. Better than your will ever work out. You see, we have the mind of Christ in us. And we know the mind of the Father must be in the Son in order for Him to be adopted. Our mind must be brought into harmony with the mind of God if we're to receive what God has in mind for us to receive. In Romans 10 and 17, Paul told us how to appropriate our faith. He said, faith cometh by hearing. If your faith is weak in a certain area, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing, by what? By the Word of God. Now, Brother Brown took it one step further, and he preached a sermon called Hearing, Recognizing, and Acting Upon the Word of God. How many people come to church every Sunday hearing, and they don't recognize what they're hearing? Falling asleep. Just words, just words. No, it's not just words. It's God's Word. Hearing, recognizing, then acting upon the Word of God. So you see, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. What God has to say about it. Then if you hear and recognize it to be God's Word for what you need in your life, then you appropriate it by acting upon what you have heard. You say, how do I do that? You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, what I mean is this. If you have any needs, now everybody in here has a need in their life. If you have any need, you must find out what God says about those needs. And you must look for the provisions in His Word concerning those needs. Then after you have dug up all the Scripture you can concerning those needs, give the Scripture back to God. Then you are planting it in your mind and in your heart. And now you're planting in good soil. I remember years ago I heard a series of sermons by Brother Vail on faith. And as a young man, I had just left teaching. I actually didn't get hired back because of my Christian beliefs. And so I had interviewed with Sperry Univac as an expediter, which is basically an entry-level purchasing position. And I didn't hear anything back for about 2 weeks. And so one night I happened to hear this sermon by Brother Vail talking about this young guy who was kind of the dullest in the family. He had three brothers. And Brother Vail said he was kind of the dullest. You know, he didn't have the most pizzazz in his mind. You know, he wasn't the smartest guy in the family. But he said this young man, he heard Brother Vail's sermon on faith, and he took a hold of it and believed God for it. He said, and pretty soon he said he got himself a job. And then about 3 months later, he got actually a better job. And 3 months after that, he got another job. And he said within a year or so, he had the best job in the family. Why? Because he took it to faith. He took faith, he planted it in the seed in his heart, and he believed God. How do you plant it? You go and you find the specific scriptures about, say, what I did. I said, okay, Father, I looked up through my Bible, my concordance. I said, okay, the Bible says, if a man doesn't provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. Now, I'm your child. I need a job. And if you don't provide a job for me, then that makes you worse than an infidel. And I don't mean that to be irreverent, Father. But you are my Father. I need a job. Also, your Scripture says, you'll reward the fruits of our labor. And if we sow, we're going to reap. And I gave back to God all the Scriptures that I knew at the time concerning needing a job. And the next morning, I got a telephone call early in the morning. And his name was Ed Pilarski. He was the manager of the department I had interviewed with. And he said, listen, Brian, he said, we have a job for you as a buyer. Hang on 24 hours and we'll get back with you on the details. But he said, the reason why we haven't called is because with affirmative action, we were told that we couldn't hire you, that we had to hire a black for the position that you had applied for because of the quotas. He said, but what happened was on Friday, we had one of our buyers, he left for Nevada, I think it was. He said he left for Nevada to go out and get married. And then he decided not to come back. So he called in this morning, said he's not coming back, and we have a job now as a buyer. And so anyway, I would have had to wait 2 years to become a buyer. I would have had to work as an expediter 2 years to become a buyer. I came in ahead of the person that they had to hire, and it actually happened to be a teammate of mine at the University of Minnesota, a black guy I knew. So anyway, so he ended up working for me. And so you see how if you just apply God's Word, give back God His own word, because He's not a man that He can lie. You see? Nor son of man that He can repent. You see? God loves to hear His own word. Because why? His word is a seed. Now, if I plant a wheat seed in the ground, I don't expect pumpkins. I don't expect rhubarb. I expect wheat. If I plant God's word on a specific word, a specific seed, I expect what that seed is going to bring. Now, in the world, you may get some bad seed, where the life is out of it. Just a shell, just a shuck. You might get a weak seed with weak life in it, but God's word liveth and abideth forever. It's a seed that's incorruptible. In other words, that same seed works time and time and time again. So it all begins in the mind. Brother Bram told us that faith begins in the mind, and then when we receive it into the heart, then God can come down and anoint that faith. Then it becomes a dynamic revelation. So you must first fill your mind with His Word. What did God say about this? What did he say about that? Find where he promised you certain blessings concerning those things that you're in need of, and then plant them first in your mind, and then by reciting them over and over and over, they will settle down into your heart. And when that happens, then the nature of that word seed can take over and do what it was intended to do. Paul said in Romans 12 and 2, he said, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. How do you prove the will of God? Find the word. Plant it in your mind. Keep reciting it until it goes down. Keep watering it until it goes down into your heart, your soul. That then will prove the word of God, because God will then bring forth what was in that seed. Now notice, God wants us to prove his word. But we must first accept his word in our minds and let our minds see only what God sees. And that's where we fail time and time again. Only by knowing what the promise of God is can I have assurance in receiving it. Then if God has promised something to me, my attitude should be to receive it as though it's already done. Peter, when he had his eyes on the Lord Jesus and not on the storm, he was able to walk on water. But when he took his eyes off of the word, you see, and put his eyes on the circumstances, the wind howling, the waves roaring, that's when he began to sink. Focus your attention on the promise. How do I do that? Let me ask you something. Close your eyes right now. All right. How many can hear my voice? Raise your hand. All right. Notice you're missing a sense right now because your eyes are closed, but you can tell that I'm here because of my voice. All right? Open your eyes. Okay, now, if you don't have eyes to see, you can still hear. You have a sense to rely on that tells you the reality of the situation, correct? Well, what if you can't hear? You've got eyes to see. What if you can't see and can't hear? You've still got feel, smell. You see, a blind man, if he's relying upon his hearing, because he can't rely upon his seeing, when a person walks into the room, he can tell who it is by the sound of their walk, by their gait. He can tell who it is by their smell, because he relies upon his senses. How many times you may be sitting around in a place and all of a sudden the dog's ears perk up and he goes running off to the door. He hears way before you hear. And we have a sixth sense that we never rely upon. And it's just as real as those five senses are. And it's called faith. Only by knowing what God has promised can I have assurance that I'm going to receive it. Then if God has promised something to me, my attitude should be to receive it as though it is already done. The farmer, once he's planted his seed, he doesn't dig it up every day. Once he's put his seed into the ground, he finds rest. And when you've planted that word and watered it, you can rest assured that it's going to produce what it was ordained to produce. But we don't believe the word is a seed. Jesus said it's a seed. I can give you a handful of seeds and tell you what they are. And you plant them in the ground and you have faith that it's going to produce what that seed says. Huh? Is that right? How many do a little bit of farming here? A little crop raising. Take the same application to the word of God. It's a seed of God. It's eternal. Hallelujah. By knowing that God promised it, knowing that it's his will, because I've researched it in His Word. Then I receive it as if it's already done. We need to know that God not only has made His promise to you, but He did so because He wants you to have it. Don't be like the poor little nun who beats herself and flagellates herself across the back with a whip, or the old monk who says, "I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy." You're His kids. Jesus said, "What father, if his son asks for a fish, is going to give him a snake? Or if he asks for a bread, he's going to give him a stone?" You think your heavenly Father, who has enough grace and mercy to come down with a shout to introduce you to His divine presence, to call you out of the world, is not going to finish a job which He began? He's not going to prepare your heart and your soul for coming into His presence for a body change? He's not going to give you that spouse that you long for? He's not going to give you the desires of your heart? What kind of a God do you worship? How many times I've seen people pray for something, a real need in their life, and then cancel out their prayer by saying those faith-canceling words, "If it is Thy will." If it is Thy will. But people do that because they do not understand what went on in Jesus' life in Gethsemane. Jesus did not step forward to die in your behalf with an "if it be Thy will, O God." If He wasn't sure of the will of God, He would never have stepped forward. If He wasn't sure that God would raise Him up, He would never have stepped forward. If He had any doubt, He would have never stepped forward into victory. He knew it was God's will. He said, "Father, My will is that You take this cup from Me. That's My will. But nevertheless, not My will, but Thy will be done." Notice He did not say, "If Thy will be done, I'll do it." But He said, "I know Thy will, and Thy will be done." There you are. There's no doubts with Him. He knew the will of God, and He did it. Therefore, we must come to an understanding of the Word of God. For without coming to an understanding of how God's Word works, we will never have faith for anything. So let's begin our study on this faith that we're talking about. Now, in order to understand how the Word of God works, we must first understand that the Word of God is a seed. We're speaking from the sermon. The spoken Word is the original seed. And yes, the Word of God is a seed. In Luke 8 and verse 11, Jesus said, "The seed is the Word of God." In 1 Peter 1:23, we're told by Peter that the Word of God is an incorruptible seed, that which liveth and abideth forever. Therefore, if it is a seed and it is incorruptible, then we have a place to begin our faith-building process. Now, a seed is a carrier of life, and if that life in the seed is incorruptible, then it can never perish nor decay in any way. It lives and abides forever. So it is not a promise that is good for one and not good for the other. It is a promise that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, the problem we have amongst Christians today is that so many understand nothing about seed planting. But the poor farmer, who is looked down upon by the educated know-it-alls, he knows more of the Word of God and how it works than the highly educated know-it-alls that we have today. The farmer knows how to plant and then how to wait on that seed, to do what that seed is ordained to do. And he's fully aware that unless he plants the seed into the good ground, it is not going to produce any crop for him. And for you to expect the Word of God to work for you, and without first knowing what seed you're planting, and then without planting that seed into the good ground, is like a farmer who expects a crop even though he has not planted any seed for the crop. You can pray and pray and pray, and the farmer can pray and pray and pray all he wants, but he'll never get a crop unless he planted the seed. And unless you plant into your mind the words of God, the promises of God, that you're looking for and give them back to God. Plant them in the mind. Water them until they drop into your heart and you know that that's the will of God. You'll never get nothing. Brother Branham said, hearing. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. Hearing, recognizing, then acting upon the Word of God. You've got to hear it first, for faith cometh by hearing. Then you must recognize what it is and what it's for. And then once you know what seed that you're planting, then plant it and leave it up to God. God has never willed it that a man can harvest without planting first. His law of reproduction in Genesis 1:11 says, every seed shall bring forth after its kind. So if you've got a specific word for a specific thing, take that specific word for that specific thing and plant it for the thing that you need. And then God has another law, sowing and reaping. And it says, unless you sow, you will not reap. You can cry all you want. You can pray to God all you want for the thing that you're wanting. And you'll never get it unless you sow God's word for it and know that it's His will for you to have it. And if it's in His word, let me tell you something. And if it's a promise, if I say, look, if you're all my children, I say, look, children, I promise you kids, I'm going to have a turkey dinner after supper, after this meal today. And then you say, yeah, that's for everybody else but me. Oh, I'm not worthy to eat that turkey. Or I'm not worthy to eat that potatoes and that bread. Let me tell you something. If God made you a promise in His Word, it's yours. The things that are hidden belong to the Lord our God, but once they're revealed, it belongs to you. It's yours. Take it, plant it, and water it. And you watch that thing come to pass in your life. So sowing and reaping are instrumental if you're to receive the blessings of God. For you reap what you sow. But if you do not sow, you do not reap. It's just that simple. And if you just say, oh God, do this for me. Oh God, do this for me. Oh God, do this for me. And you haven't given God His own word. You haven't planted that word in your mind that it is His will. You're not going to get what you're asking. There's a way to go about bringing forth faith into manifestation. Jesus said, you shall know the truth. Then the truth shall make you free. You've got to know it first. The truth doesn't make you free. Knowing the truth makes you free. God wants you to know His will concerning what you wish to reap. And in knowing His will, you are able to recognize it and carefully sow it in the right field. As Brother Bosworth used to say, freedom from sickness comes from knowing the truth. God will do nothing outside of His Word. His Word is the conduit in which God operates. Therefore, the good field that we must plant the Word of God in is our mind and our heart. For it is there that God can act upon it. Any farmer knows for him to receive a harvest, he must plant his seed in his own field. And therefore, what I wish to receive from God must be planted in my own heart, in my own mind. I don't go planting in someone else's field and expect to reap my crop. It's his crop. You've got to plant it in your own mind. Plant it in your own heart. You cannot plant seed for a certain crop if you're unsure what seed you're planting. So you must study the seeds, the Word, to know what seed is for what crop. And then knowing the seed will produce for that crop, you simply sow it into good soil and then go away and let it do what it's supposed to do. It is a seed, by the way. Why is it that we can look at a physical seed and say, yeah, there's life in there. It's a seed. That's an apple seed and that's a pumpkin seed and that's a, you know, that's a whatever seed, mustard seed.
And I know that this apple seed is going to produce an apple. I'm not sure what kind because unless I know the tree I got it from. But it's going to grow an apple. All I got to do is just do what's ordained. It's got to be planted in the ground. It's got to be watered. That's it. That's all you have to do. What does it mean then by planting? It means take that seed. Lord, I need a job. Okay, the Bible says, you know, this is about jobs. Lord, I need a husband or I need a wife. You know, when I prayed for my wife, I said, Lord, you know, your scripture says that, you know, that, you know, I just came back to the different scriptures concerning a wife. He said, you know, he that getteth a wife getteth a good thing. I said, and he also said that you would withhold no good thing from those that love you. I love you, Lord. I don't want you to withhold a good thing from me. And I know that getting a wife is getting a good thing. You see? So I put the word together. I planted it in my mind. Then I watered it daily. Every time I went to pray. I said, Lord, I give him this back the same word. I said, Father, this is your word. I'm watering it today. I'm believing that you're going to produce for me a crop, a wife. And he did, very shortly. I don't believe we got to wait. Oh, you know, well, Abraham did have to wait 25 years. There is a time and season for these things to come. You know, you have certain seeds for certain seasons. You have winter wheat, you know, and fall wheat, spring wheat, that kind of thing. But you take that word for that season and plant it. And it'll bring forth. Now you cannot plant seed for a certain crop if you're unsure what that seed is that you're planting. So you must study the seed to know what seed is for that crop. And then knowing the seed will produce for that crop, you simply sow it into the good soil. Then you just go away. And just water it on a daily basis. The farmer knows what seed that he needs. Then he goes out and he gets the seed that he knows that he needs. Then he plants it. Therefore, he does not plant the seed until he knows it, and he receives it, and then he plants it, hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the Word of God. Now, you cannot become a Christian until you know that it is God's will to save you. So you hear the words of salvation, you receive those words, and you act upon them by trusting in the Word of God to save you. Then once you have planted the seed, you do not go and dig it up every day and replant it to make sure that you planted the right seed. I want that to sink in. Once you have planted the seed, and you only planted it because you know the specifics of that seed, then you don't go and dig it up every day and replant it or examine it again. Did I give them the right word? Did I give them the right word? No. You gave them the right word. You planted the right seed. Then just let it be and it will produce. Can you imagine a farmer who knows what seed that he will need to produce a crop that he wants to produce, and then he plants it, but decides that he must check on it every day to see if the seed is doing what it's meant to do? He'd never get a crop, would he? Because it would never give that word time to break down in its life or in the soil and allow the life that's in that seed to bring forth and reproduce what it's meant to reproduce. So he digs it up every day. He looks for the seed to be doing its thing. But if he did that, he would never receive the crop because every seed has a certain built-in timeline for it to decay and unleash the life that's in the seed, and so does the seed of God, the Word. You have to understand the working of a seed. It, as a seed, is a carrier of life. Therefore, you must allow that life to work within its own set of rules to bring forth what it is destined to bring forth. In other words, you have to trust that it is a genuine seed and it will do that. It will do what its nature is programmed to do. So if I've got the right seed and I'm praying for a spouse and planted that one in the ground, I'm not expecting an automobile. I'm expecting a spouse. If I plant wheat, I'm expecting wheat. You see? You've got to know the nature of the seed before you sow it. And so it is with the Word of God. If you do not know God's will for you to be saved or to be healed, or for you to receive His financial help or spiritual help, then you do not know what seed you're planting in the crop that you'll be bringing up. And you'll get nothing. To say, I believe the Lord is able to heal me, is not the same as I know the Lord will heal me.
being able to do something versus knowing that something is going to be done are two different things altogether. Jesus did not say in vain, if you say to this mountain and don't doubt in your heart, you can have what you ask. He did not say to the storm, storm, I hope you go away. No, not for one second. He said, storm, be gone, and it went. Brother Branham did not say to the storm in Colorado, storm, I pray that you will go away. Not for one second. He said, storm, depart, and it did. And I saw those examples when God had told me to take charge of that meeting in Western Uganda. I didn't say, storm, go away if it be thy will. I knew God's will. He told me what. He said, take charge of the meeting. And I commanded that storm in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to go, and it did. And I'm not a prophet of God, but I am a son of God. You can't stand there and think, what if I command this storm and it doesn't go away? What will these ministers think? Right there, you're defeated. Because you're not looking at the seed promise, you're looking at the circumstances. You see, the farmer does not look at the circumstances. He looks at the seed and the nature of that seed. And he knows if he plants it in good soil, it's going to produce the crop. Did not the Apostle Paul tell us in Romans 1:18 that the gospel of Christ is the power of God? Do we believe that? So what are you afraid of? If you have the power of God, then use it. So you see, once you understand the nature of the seed you wish to plant, you just plant it and leave the results up to God. And if you do not understand the nature of the seed you wish to plant, you will never understand the nature of the Word of God, which is the original seed. That is what Jesus said in Matthew 13:23. He said, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also then bears forth fruit and bringeth forth some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Why? Because he understood what the word seed was. He planted it knowingly that it would produce. But Matthew 13:19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he that receiveth seed by the wayside. Why? Because he didn't know what it was. Don't you understand? You've got to study his word to show yourself a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You see, it all depends on whether you understand what you're planting or not. If you do not understand how faith works, you will never plant the right seed for it to produce the thing that you have need of in your life. There is no uncertainty in the Word of God concerning what you need to plant for each situation. And in fact, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 14:23, for whatsoever is not of faith, it is sin. What's sin? It's unbelief. So if you don't know what you're planting, it's just unbelief anyway. You're just throwing seed to the wind. We're told in James 1:5-8, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So you see, here he is saying, ask God and he shall give you what you ask. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, James goes on. Now this word wavereth was translated from the Greek word diakrino, which means to hesitate or to withdraw. So if you hesitate to sow your seed, or if you withdraw from sowing your seed, that means that you're not actually sowing it at all. Then how do you expect to get anything if you don't sow the seed? For he that wavereth, he that withdraws from sowing the seed, is like a wave of the sea driven in the wind and tossed. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. For a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Well, I'm going to sow it. I'm not going to sow it. I'm going to sow it. I'm not going to sow it. I'm going to sow it. I'm not going to sow it. I'm going to sow wheat. Is this wheat? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And he doesn't do anything. And he doesn't receive. You got to know it. Study it. Then apply it. Sow it. Get it into the mind. Let it sink down to the heart. Water it daily. You should be praying at least 3 times a day anyway, according to Scripture. Morning, noon, and night have I come to thee, O God. Take it morning, noon, night. Apply the word into the mind and let it drop into the soul. Let it water into the soul. Washing by the washing of water by the word, you see. Then you watch it bear fruit. So not only are you promised that you will not receive anything from the Lord if you don't sow it, but you are also called unstable in God's great record book. Notice he says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Seed is powerless unless it is what? Planted. Therefore, asking others to pray for your harvest when you haven't planted the proper seeds is like the farmer asking his friends to pray for his harvest, knowing he hasn't even planted a seed in the ground. Therefore, praying before you know what you have sown is futile. That's why in Acts 2, verse 42, he says, they abode in the doctrine of Christ. They abode in the doctrine and in fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer. And then many mighty miracles took place. Doctrine first, they had to know. Once they knew, they had fellowship around what they knew. They talked and they broke bread around what they knew. Then they prayed about what they knew. The same thing with your faith. Get the word out. Go through God's great granary. His word full of seed. Find the specific seed that you need. And if you can only find one, take that one. But in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, let all things be established. Find 2 or 3. There's plenty of scripture in there for your promise. Find 2 or 3. All you have to do is go to Deuteronomy 28. And you find all the blessings that God has for you. Go to there to starters, for starters. Go to the Psalms. Go to the Proverbs. Go throughout the Scripture. You'll find 2 or 3 at least. The same seed. Plant them. You plant one seed and you get a stalk of corn. On the stalk of corn, you may have 3 to 5 ears on that corn. Maybe more. And on each ear of corn, how many seeds do you have? Hundreds. Hallelujah. You've got to plant it. So seed is powerless unless it is planted. Therefore, asking others to pray for your harvest when you haven't planted the proper seed is like the farmer asking his friends to pray for his harvest, not knowing that he hasn't even planted a seed yet. Therefore, praying before you know what you have sown is futile. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, if you do not understand what it is that you are to receive from God, then how can you believe that you've received them? Therefore, you have got to understand what it is by the Word of God that you're going after. Then after you have properly laid out the Word of God, the seed of God, the plant, implanted it into your heart, do not let them depart from your sight, but meditate upon them day and night, and only then can you believe that you will receive what you have asked. Then you can rest in the promise. Listen to what God has to say concerning His handing out of the rewards for our faith. In Hebrews 10:35, He said, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. The confidence brings a reward. For ye have need of patience, that after that you have done the will of God, he might receive the promise. So confidence and patience, and you receive the promise. Notice that it is not until you have done the will of God that you will receive the promise. So you must hear it, for faith cometh by hearing. Then you've got to recognize what it is that you are promised. Then after recognizing what it is that you're promised, then you must act upon it. Hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the Word of God. Then sit back and watch God's work go to work for you. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. But now the just shall live by faith. And if any man draw back, and that word draw back means to back up or to withhold or to keep back. So you see, unless you fully plant it, you will never produce. Any man that keeps back the seed, he's not going to get it. Any man that draws back, keeps back the seed, holds back or withholds the seed, It says, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So move forward. Brother Branham said, if Moses, he said, God said, speak and go forward. If Moses would have just spoke, it wouldn't have been, nothing would have happened. He had to go forward also. James said that faith without works is dead. Because the works is an expression of faith. Brother Branham preached a message on that. Faith is works expressed. The wisest man that ever lived told us how to plant our seeds into the right kind of soil. He said in Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ears unto my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Notice that God tells us how to actually act upon His word. The Amplified Version says, my son, attend to my words. Consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. Therefore, once you have decided what it is that you're planting, then you are to no longer look at the circumstances, but you are to look to the planting that you have done. He said, let not my promise depart from thine eyes. Keep focused on it. And never let them depart from your heart. Keep focused. Look how Abraham, the older he got, the more sure the promise of God came to him. From Brother Am's sermon, Works is Faith Expressed, he said, and don't forget to think about that title. Listen, Brother Am says, works or your actions is your faith expressed. Here he says, let's think of Abraham for just a minute. Abraham got the holy union complete, see? He got the whole thing together. He called things contrary to his faith as though it was not. And he acted on the same principle. I can imagine about 20 years, somebody came by and said, father of nations? Abraham, your name, you said your name was Abraham, which means father of nations. Just how many children do you have right now, Abraham? Ha ha ha. You see, but that didn't stumble him a bit. The Bible said he staggered not at the word of God through unbelief. He went right ahead making ready, keeping all the booties ready and the bird eye and things like that. He was going to have that baby. That's all. And so he waited until he was 100 years old, but it came. And God said it would come, and it came right on time when it was supposed to come. And God gave him a youthful body. He restored his body back and his wife's body. Restored them to youth so they could handle children. Because, my goodness, the older you get, the less you can handle kids. That's why God gives him when you're young. So he waited until he was 100 years old, and the word came. The word of God cannot produce a crop that is in some, The word of God cannot produce a crop that in some is multiplied 30-fold, in others 60-fold, and others 100-fold, if it is not first heard, then received, then acted upon. Notice he says the word of God is life to those who find them. If you don't find it, it's not life to you, right? Hey, the Word of God is a seed, right? If you didn't find it, there's no life because the life's in the seed. Find the promises for you. Read them back every day until they are ingrained in your mind and they're indelibly written in your heart. Then you watch God act upon those things. Notice he said the Word of God is life only to those who find them. So that's the key. If you do not have the proper seed, you cannot plant it. And if you cannot plant it, you will not receive the crop that you hope for. James tells us that it is very crucial to our receiving that we plant the right seed. He says you have not because you asked not, or you asked amiss. In other words, if you did not plant the right seed to get the crop that you wanted, a farmer cannot sow one seed expecting to reap another. He must sow for what he wants to receive. If you keep planting in your heart seeds of doubt, what crop are you going to grow? Doubt. Job said, the thing I feared the most did what? Come upon me. If you keep planting in your heart seeds of doubt, that is the crop you will grow. So which kind of seed do you have in the ground? And which kind of seed are you watering each day? You know your own heart. And if you're planting seed of doubt, then you will never receive the crop that you have need of. And if your eyes are on the circumstances and the seed of doubt is what you are focused upon in your heart, then that is what you're going to get. James said, chapter 4, verse 2, ye lust and have not. In other words, you want it, but you don't receive it. So, he says, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. He says, look at all the work, the hard work, the emotions that you spend trying to get the crop that you want. All the fussing and bickering and trying to get things to be, and you get nothing. And sometimes you're even willing to kill to get it. And you still can't have it. Why? He says, you ask, but you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. So what does it mean that you ask amiss? It means that you're not planting the right seed for what you want. And your motives are wrong. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So are you hearing words this morning? Just man's words, or are you hearing the word of God? What are you receiving when you go to this Bible? Some historical book? Or are you receiving the living presence of God, the promises of God, the same yesterday, today, and forever? In closing, we can see that after you have planted your seed, you believe it, that it is growing before you see it grow. That is why Paul said faith is the evidence of things not seen. Because although you do not see it growing, you know that the word of God is working mightily in you to the pulling down of strongholds. We are to look at only his evidence of the seed that has been planted, for to look is to live. Learn that if you are to doubt anything, you must doubt your doubts. For God's word is perfect. It's a perfect seed. And it has a perfect law of reproduction and a law of sowing and reaping that will produce the desires that you have planted for. So look only at the evidence of things not seen. In other words, the seed. Look at the seed, plant it. Don't look at the circumstances. That is the life that is in the seed that you have planted. The seed itself, you can see. It is the word of God. But Jesus said, my words are spirit in their life. And in any seed you see the shell and the shuck, but you do not see the life that is inside. But that life is the evidence of the crop that you sowed for. And even though you could pull back all the layers for that shuck, you cannot see the life, and yet it is there. And every farmer learns not to trust his eyes, but to trust his sixth sense, which is his faith in sowing and reaping. You learn to use your senses one at a time, and yet because you do not see something with your eyes, that does not mean that it's not there. You can use your other senses to tell that it is there. The blind man is missing one sense, and yet he can hear the person coming and tell by the manner of walk that who's coming. Or he may be able to tell by the person's smell who's entering the room. So just because you can't see it does not mean that it's not there. And just because you cannot hear it does not mean that it's there. And just because you can't see, taste, feel, smell, or hear it doesn't mean the sixth sense isn't working. And just because you can't. So we must learn that when one sense fails, we have five more to rely upon. And when all five of your earthly senses fail, we have the sixth sense, which is just as important as the other five. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. I truly believe, Father, that if the people would take a hold of what was said today with earnestness and apply it in their life to find the scriptural seeds for the needs that they have, I believe, Father, they plant them in their mind, they water them daily, they will see the manifestation of the life of that seed in their life. So, Father, we just commit, Lord, the sowing and reaping, because we are sowing to be bride. And so, Father, help us then to sow properly in our mind. Water it daily, that we might become the very image of your Son, Jesus Christ, transformed by the renewing of our mind and conformed to the image of your eldest Son and a vast family of brethren. That will prepare us for the going home. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I think if you were to study this sermon and the faith of Christ from Gethsemane to the cross, it's going to help you tremendously in your life. Amen. Well, let's all stand to our feet.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
What number is this? 335, okay.
Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just as I am, poor wretched and blind, sight riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I plant that seed.
Amen. Well, God bless you all and plant that seed.